Dominic Civitelli grew up on a farm.
I grew up on a farm, and it was a beautiful place to grow up. And so we had all ranges of animals with a really ancient forest, with a really majestic river there. And so that there was just this an incredible amount of adventure to my childhood. That was my backyard. And so my mind always kind of drifted to, like, where the hell did this all come from?
Dominic is a grad student at the University of Washington these days, and what drew him there was this fascination with biodiversity, the whole wide sweep of life on Earth, and especially how different life forms think, what he calls cognitive complexity.
My two main interests that came out of that was the evolution of the mind and then life itself, so the origin of life itself.
This is probably a good time to mention that Dominic and I met up at a conference on astrobiology, meaning the study of life beyond Earth. He got here partly because of revelations he had while studying invertebrates at Friday Harbor Lab. That research led him to this thought: we can better imagine what an alien intelligence looks like if we more clearly understand some of the aliens among us.
And they didn't really seem to be easily reconciled until when I was at Friday Harbor Labs a few years ago, and I was in a class that studied marine invertebrate zoology. I was taking this class because I was interested in the diversity of the nervous system. Like, let's actually give a perspective on the forms that the mind can take, probably on worlds beyond our own. This was a world that we didn't evolve to see. It seems really alien to us, and these marine invertebrates seem really alien to us. And of all the invertebrates that were in that lab that I was studying, there was one that was seemingly studying me as much as I was studying it.
And that creature was an octopus.
So it dawned on me that, like, among this incredible diversity of form and mind, there was something of particular unique cognitive complexity that seemed very fascinating to me because of how distant it was. And it became clear that the octopus can be used as a model for understanding alternative evolutionary paths toward intelligence. It was small. It snuck its way into our lab in a bivalve shell. So,
wait, what?
Yeah, it was weird. The instructors went out diving to get some clams, and this thing, like, popped out of its clamshell. Like, it had made its home in this clamshell, and so suddenly there was this octopus in the lab. So suddenly the IQ of the lab just shot up a whole bunch.
Wait, how big are we talking about here?
Oh, like, it probably fit on your thumb pretty easily. It was a small one. But yeah, she didn't live, and that was really unfortunate. But I had discovered something when I was like looking at her and looking at her camouflage system on her skin, because, like, once the animals die, their camouflage system tend to stay active. And I didn't know this until I was looking at her, and I saw, like, her chromatophore system, which are those ink filled sacs that are basically the pixels of their camouflage system. They began to fire. Just randomly, just waves of red and waves of yellow, waves of orange. Just started.
So it's just changing color in front of your eyes?
Yeah. And she was dead. And she still showed all this incredible beauty. And so, yeah, it was just a lot all at once to, like, see both the cognitive sophistication of this animal, but also just, like, how even in death, this camouflage system was still active for a while afterwards, for hours afterwards. So there was something very different computationally speaking about this animal, at the neural level about this animal. And so I had to start to look at their nervous system. It has been for over 500 million years that the octopus has evolved in parallel, a cognitive complexity. And so all these different forms of cognition were selected for by the environment, right? So all forms of intelligence are selected for by the environment. There was some adaptive value, there was some reproductive value to our way of thinking about the world.
So we have hundreds of millions of years of progress then along separate tracks toward being smart, or toward being sufficiently complex that you could do complicated tasks and behaviors in your environment, right? But they arrived at such different places. So can you just give me a thumbnail of then what, say, an octopus's nervous system looks like compared with, say, a lab rat?
There is evolved to being incredibly diffuse. unlike the highly centralized nervous system of the vertebrates, the most of the octopus's nervous system exists within its arms. And this allows it to outsource a large amount of computation that the brain would have to do. The arms of the octopus can bend in any direction anywhere along their length. And so that's a really hard computational problem if you want to control that.
Because you got to get them to work together and not knock into each other and do something that you want them to do and not stuff you don't want to do, right?
Yeah, imagine with our limbs, we have very few fixed joints. And so the degrees of freedom, the coordinates of where our body is, we don't really have to think that hard about. But when your arm can bend in any direction, anywhere down its length, that becomes a much more difficult computational problem. So the brain sent that problem out to the arm itself by providing the arms with and the suckers with their own localized computation centers called ganglia.
And so those are neural bodies, right? Neural clumps of neurons and so on, and they exist not only in the, I mean, we have nerves all over our body too, but these are concentrated, it seems like, in ways that they aren't in, say, my arm.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So these are localized sensory and motor computation centers. And so in these ganglia, where most of the neurons of the octopus's nervous system is, so most of that information doesn't make it to the brain at all.
So what does having this information that there's a very different type of organism that has established cognitive complexity in a really different way than vertebrates have? We're sitting here talking at this astrobiology conference. Astrobiology, of course, the study of habitable worlds and what one might find there and how one might find them and so on. What are you doing here?
I'm here to put a perspective on the diversity of forms the mind can take on worlds beyond our own. Because, again, we probably won't find humans out there. And people should understand that we might find something that looks more like an octopus. We might find something that looks more like a yeast. I'm interested in what are those life forms thinking about, and how are they thinking? This is just a very human thing to do, is just turn our questions to the unknown and be okay with not actually getting an answer. Life is, in a way, an information reactor. Life can process information like nothing else in the universe, and things with nervous systems can do so at a completely different scale entirely.
So can I poke you on something then? Because you talked at the beginning about the idea that this octopus was studying you as much as you were studying it. And I know you're not anthropomorphizing it literally, but to what extent do you imagine it as an agent?
That's an interesting question. I'd say that there are these characteristics that we share that either endured through our separate evolutionary paths, or that we converged on, that we both evolved separately. And one of those is undoubtedly curiosity. They are immensely curious animals. Exploration is built into their nervous system. Their arms will explore just like instinctually. So that's something that I felt right away. This mutual interest in the unknown. That's really where I felt our kinship. And so that really made it clear to me that when we have these common characteristics in different evolutionary paths toward intelligence, maybe those characteristics are going to be shared when those intelligent life forms will have a completely different origin entirely. So maybe on other worlds, other forms of cognition, other forms of intelligence will share the curiosity and the interest in the unknown that we share with the octopus.